Can you hear me?
No.
Nope. Yep. Can you hear me now? That might be a little too loud. Is that okay? Okay. All righty. It also just came to my attention, was brought to my attention, that Mario is having an operation. Was it tomorrow?
Tuesday.
Okay. So we want to pray for Mario and just put him in on your prayer list and pray for his safe journey through this, and just also for a fast recovery. So let's just pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would just bless Mario, dear Lord, as he undergoes a procedure. We just ask that you guide the hands of the doctors or whoever's performing this, and we just ask for his safe and fast recovery. Just to give him confidence and ease and peace through this, and just we ask for his complete recovery. And we just thank you for all of that. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. As y'all probably found out, Pastor Tony suddenly came down ill with the flu. So anyway, I just found out yesterday afternoon that it's me this Sunday. So anyway, I ask you to bear with me. I had to put this together in just a little bit of time. I felt like I was cramming for an exam. I was like, okay, got to come up with something. So anyway, this is something that actually I had thought about a while back, and we had talked about some of this at a Bible study that I went to. But anyway, it's talking about the provision, the Lord's provision. Does the Lord provide for us? Anyway, so I'm just hoping that most of you, and that actually that all of you, believe that the Lord does provide for us in our times of need, and he will provide for us with all that we need, and that he's provided for us all that we have in this world. And many believe that they have to provide everything for themselves, and that we're self-made men and women. And you say, I worked hard all my life, and that I have all that I have is because of me and my hard work. Well, part of that you have worked hard, it may well be true, and that is a good thing. And it's true of many of us. We do. We work hard. We provide for our families, and we strive to do our very best in that. But I will tell you this. I'm going to let you in on a little secret, that none of our effort, our success, would have been possible without the provision and the blessing of our Father in heaven. He is the one that allows us to do all these things. Our talents and all that we have that have helped us to obtain things and to strive and do well come from our Father in heaven. And so no matter what the world out there may believe, that we're all in charge of everything, we're not. Everything that we have has been provided by the Lord. He has given us that ability. And the Bible tells us that in Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. But how do we obtain these riches? How do we obtain these provisions of the Lord? Anyway, I want to read Matthew 6:31-32. So bear with me here. I was not able to write all this down, so I have to just go to the Bible on here and read it. So give me just a second. Anyway, many of you have probably read this, but it says, so why do you worry? It's 6:23-31. And why do you worry about your clothes? Jesus says, how the lilies of the field grow, they do not labor or spin. But I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, and is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Oh, you of little faith, so you do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek, and here's the key to it all. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. So how do we seek the kingdom of heaven? How do we get there? What is the kingdom of heaven? Remember, Jesus told us that My kingdom is not of this world. And Jesus' kingdom should be the center of our lives. It should be everything. We should seek it first. We should strive to do everything we can to go to the Lord in everything before we attempt to do anything. And I want to read you something, though, here from a gentleman named Henri Nouwen. And he says, it is important for us to realize that Jesus in no way wants us to leave our many-faceted world. Rather, he wants us to live in it, but firmly rooted in the center of all things. In other words, Jesus doesn't want you to go off and live in a convent to seek his kingdom, and you don't need to go hide in a cave in prayer for hours and hours. You have to have jobs, we have to have work, we have to have homes to live in, cars to drive, and things like that. We need all these things. But we're to live in this world, but not be part of the world. In other words, we need to be in the family of Jesus Christ, like he was not part of the world. So it says here, what is the center? Jesus calls it the kingdom of his Father. For us in the 20th century, this may not have much meaning, but kings and kingdoms do not play an important role in our daily life. But only when we understand Jesus' words as an urgent call to make the life of God's Spirit our priority can we see better what is at stake. A heart set on the Father's kingdom is also a heart set on the spiritual life. To set our hearts on the kingdom, therefore, means to make the life of the Spirit within and among us the center of all that we think. That's where our focus needs to be. Remember, keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus at all times. And then he will give you all these things. So we seek that kingdom through faith, prayer, and through worship. All those are, that's how we get there. When we're in need, we must first go to the Lord for his help and provision. Shouldn't do anything at all when we're in need except first go to the Lord, seek his guidance. So many times, many times though we do ask and pray, but if we don't get those provisions immediately, we quit asking and give up. That's not what we need to do. We need to continue like the persistent widow. She continued to go to the judge, pray over and over and over, and keep praying. That is how you'll get there. When your prayers don't become answers immediately, don't give in to that. We must continue to pray. Do not panic or let yourselves get out of control. Don't lose it. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. I know something about that. The Lord already knows what you need, but he'd like to hear it from you. So he knows already, and he's already sitting there. The Lord knows what you need before you ask him, but he'd like to hear you do it. He'd like to hear you ask it. And he'll speak to your heart even if you don't hear him. You'll find out later that answer will suddenly come to you. It'll come into your heart and into your mind out of nowhere. You go, where did that come from? It's from the Lord. So after you've prayed, you may need to go out and do something. Do what you must do. Go out. Continue to pray. And you may look for guidance. You know, when we're in a situation where we need something desperately, we're going to have to go out sometimes and take action. But don't do it before you've consulted with God. And when you do it, some things that we need to do. You've got things that go on. You've got a car payment due. You don't have the money. You've got a home mortgage to pay, and you know, haven't been able to pay it, and it may be repossessed. You have medical expenses and all kinds of things that hit us each and every day. It's just part of life, and unfortunately, sometimes we find ourselves in that situation. And we're going to have to go out and take action, but we do not want to take this action without first consulting God. We have to have him on our side. Sometimes, though, we'll need to seek the help of others. We will have to go to other peoples. So let the Lord pray about it. Let the Lord lead you to those who can help you. Pray hard that the Lord will lead you to the right person, and he will bring those into your life that you can help you. pray for that, because sometimes we need to go seek the help of other people. And when you do, you need to pray and you need to be wise about it. So try to make sure that you're getting your help from someone that are really godly and true believers, if you can. Do not go out into this world, because the unbelieving world out there doesn't care about you. In fact, normally they're just, if they're willing to help you in something, you can bet that they want something back on that. So don't get trapped into that if you can avoid it. Pray the Lord that He has brought to you the person, when you've chosen them, that is the right person to help you out in this. And do not have so much pride that you won't accept help from someone, especially if you know that they are a believer and they're a godly person and they're handing this out to you. Then accept it. Take it from them, because God has sent them to you. I said, I want to tell you now about the good provisions and things like that, and the problems that I've faced, and about some of the things that we've talked to about here. This is just a little, I had to use a lot of this stuff just to tell you some of my own stories and things like that, because I didn't have time to just research everything. But anyway, many of you know that my father and I had a family business, and we had it for 49 years. Anyway, in 2007 and 8, basically, we got into an extremely bad financial bind. A gentleman that we had trusted and had been with us for many years embezzled a large amount of money from us. And along as well as embezzling the money, he also just managed, through either just spite or just sloppiness, to lose another large amount of money and cost the company. So as a result, in 2007, we found ourselves approximately about $750,000 in debt, with very little inventory and with very little cash in the bank. And prior to that, my job in the company had always been to oversee the sales department and the service and supply department, to make sure that they worked together well. And my father and this other gentleman generally took care of most of the financial stuff. Well, the gentleman was fired and he was gone, and my father was up in years. And of course, he was like, oh, you know, I don't know, we can do this and this and this. Well, it all fell on me, and I had to seek some help. And I sought help in a place that I thought was going to be right. And I realized, because I had been praying earnestly about this situation, that the help that I was seeking was not the right one. So I went back and I prayed again. I prayed hard. And the Lord told me, don't do that. Do something else. So anyway, basically, I had to take some action and take it quick. So I refinanced some homes. I refinanced some other property. I took all of my IRA and cashed it in. And then I went to a friend that I knew, who I knew I could trust, and I knew he would help me, and borrowed a large amount of money from him. So that got us going back on our feet temporarily, but I had to move on. But through the end of 2007, things were picking up, things were going, business was good, everything was looked like I was convinced that this is gonna all work out. We had a tremendously good customer base, and I had a lot of good people working for me, so I was comfortable with it. But even at that point, after all the borrowing, now I was basically $900,000 in debt. Anyway, though, I was confident. But then 2008 financial crisis hit, and when that hit, everything went out from the bottom of everything, because we relied heavily on third-party financing for our equipment, and our customers bought it, and we did leasing, very much like car dealerships do in that. Ours was an office equipment business. Anyway, it hurt. Cash flow wasn't coming in and all of that, and I'll tell you what, it got really bad. It got really, really bad. And I can tell you this, and I'm not ashamed to tell you, I am ashamed of the way I was, but I just lost it. I lost control. I did not handle these things well. I was just all over the place. I'd go to work every day, and I would work hard, and I like that, but it was problem after problem after problem, and it just tore at my heart, and it hurt me, and I was just, I was like, well, I have no faith, I guess, is what I would tell myself, but then I did know I have faith. I believe God will bring me through this. I kept praying, I kept praying, I kept praying. And like I said, I reached the point several times where I was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. My wife will attest to that. I did not handle it the right way. I should have believed that God would get me through this. But just like all of us, I was very weak. And I was a very weak person in that. I'll try to sum this up quickly. But anyway, little by little, I began to see that God was working in this. Little by little, I noticed that every day he would always provide enough for us to get through the next week. And little by little, I continued to pay off our debts and whatever I could get. I'd pay some back, and then I'd have to turn around and give it back. But anyway, this lasted over a period of about close to 10 years. But towards the last few years, I realized that God was bringing me through this, and I was getting all of this taken care of, and that my prayers were being heard. Not instantly. I was waiting for this great big deal that was going to get us out of everything. Well, it didn't happen. Slowly, it took time, but it did. It did work out. And I was blessed, even though that I was not a good Christian man. I mean, I wasn't out sinning. I was just a mess. You would have never thought I had any faith, but somehow, apparently, those around me realized that I did have some faith. I was actually holding little Bible meetings and things in my office in the mornings on Fridays with some of the people that worked for me, and we would do that. So, in other words, it was kind of like out in public, I looked great, but in private and at home, I was a mess. But I got better. As I said, I got better. Anyway, but one of the things, though, that made this work, and it did, as I was talking about earlier, is the fact that you need good people in your life to help you. Seek them out when you need them. The Lord will bring them to you if you need them. And I was so blessed during all this time, and I didn't realize till later that one of the greatest provisions that he had done is he had provided me with really good people around me. I had the most loyal employees and good people, and they'd known me for years, worked for us for years, and they supported me through all of this. They supported me even when they saw me look like I was a wreck. They would continue to come in and help me, and there was a couple of them that really helped me a lot. But the greatest person that helped me through all of this is my wife. My wife, Ann, over there was a rock. And I'm not just saying this. That woman is a rock. If you need a shoulder to cry on, you need someone to come with an encouraging word, that woman over there is the one to go to. She always says, I don't want to be in the forefront. I don't want anyone to, I just want to sit quietly. But she got me through this, and I tell you what, I don't know how she stood all the, and I'm just going to use the word, all the hell that I put her through all of this. But she is rock solid, and I love her for it. So anyway, I just wanted to give you that because I understand I'm not alone. Many of you have probably gone through something like this. Whatever it may be, it's tough, but you've got to stand strong and ask for the God's provision. No matter, even when you say, I'm so weak and I'm so bad, just keep praying because he knows. He knows what's going on with you. Anyway, the Lord will always bring those people into your life if you'll just ask him to, or just pray and just watch for it. But now I want to tell you, this is why I believe that it is so important to attend the church. Just right here. It's here in the church that you receive your support and your fellowship of all your other believers. We need that fellowship. We need that friendship. We need to be there for those who are in need. God designed it this way. He designed the church this way. for us to meet together, to pray together, and to worship together. Here in this church, you'll find the encouragement that you need that you cannot find out there on the internet or on television. You can watch the internet, watch church services on the internet, and that's great, and you can watch them on TV, and it's great, and it's a tremendous way to get the word. But I want to say to everyone out there that if there is a way that you can come to church, you need to come to church, because we all need to find that closeness and the support and the fellowship and just the love of fellow believers all together, so that we know each other, we can put our hands on each other and pray, we can do all the things we need this morning. You cannot get that from your house, no matter what you think. So I encourage, if there's anyone here and you know people that have attended this church, but I watch online, encourage them to come back. Tell them because we need you, and they most likely actually need us. So that's something I just wanted to say on that subject, because I think it's very important. I want to talk about how God will provide. So when God has provided for you, what do you do when you receive it? What do you do when you receive that provision, that thing, when he finally brings you through all of this that you've been battling? What's the first thing we should do? Thank him. Thank him with all of your heart and with all of your soul and all of your strength, as he says, as we're to love the God and love God. And when the Lord has blessed you with this, if you suddenly receive, especially like if you may get some kind of a blessing, whether it be financial or whatever it is, be a blessing to him and bless his name, and then bless someone else with it. You remember a couple years ago, it was a movie, and I think I have this, I'm not sure, it was called Pass It Forward. Anybody remember that? Or Pay It Forward, excuse, thank you. Anyway. Remember that whenever you're in a position to help someone, be glad and always do it, because that's God answering someone else's prayer through you. So when the Lord has given you, showered down a blessing on you, financial or whatever it is, share it with someone that needs it or may need your help. Share it with your church. Bless God with the blessings that he gave you. It's very important. Does anyone know the story of the talents in Matthew? Okay. Well, while I'm looking it up here real quick, let me tell you a little bit about it. The master of the household goes and he has three servants. He says, I'm going away for a while. I'm going to loan you some money here to run the household. And their talents, they were coins used in the Roman Empire. And the first one he says, I'll give you 5 talents. He goes to the second servant and says, I'll give you 2 talents. And he goes to the third servant and he says, I'm going to give you 1 talent. And when I return, I want to see what you've done with them. And I'm kind of skipping through a little bit of this. But anyway, so the master returns and he goes to the first servant and he says, where's my 5 talents? And he says, well, I've taken your 5 talents. And he says, I have earned 10. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. He goes to the second one with the 2 talents. What have you done with my 2 talents? He says, I doubled your money. I now have 4 talents. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. He goes to the last one and he says, where is my 1 talent? What have you done with my 1 talent? He says, well, I knew you were a hard and mean and tough man, so I went and buried it. Here, you can have it back. The Lord says, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents, for everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. So in other words, the Lord gives you a blessing. The Lord gives you these things, whatever. Don't sit there and bury them in your backyard and not use them. Spread them out there, because that is how you bless the Lord, is by sharing in the blessings that he's given you. So that's basically a kind of a quick lesson on the talents, because those are the things that are, it's not actually monetary. In other words, the Lord's given you your salvation, then you need to share it with somebody else. See if you can double it. Plant that seed, because you never know how many of them will spread. So if you, you know, if the Lord has provided you with a home, a job, good health, thank Him and be grateful for it. You know, there's many people out there that haven't been given much, but what He has given them, they say, well, my stuff is all junk compared to what others have. But the thing is, it's not what you have, but it's what you do with it. That was the story here of the talents, the same thing. Not what the Lord's given you, but what you do with it. And I want to give you again another example, and these are real life things from stories from my life. And it's in my first marriage, my father-in-law, he and I got along really well. And he was a machinist at the Lone Star Brewery, and he was a very talented man when it came to working with things. And he owned several pieces of property out in the country. And he used to build these outbuildings, little barns or sheds and things like that. And people would drive by and they would tell him, Harry, you have the most beautiful barns. He goes, you have the most beautiful outbuildings over there. He goes, even your chicken coop over there. He goes, you must have spent a fortune on those. And he would just laugh and he'd say, see that barn over there? He goes, that cost me $200. Like, what? He goes, you see that over there? He goes, that cost me $400, and then that chicken coop cost me $150. You're like, how did... Well, here's the thing, and I used to travel with him back and forth through all these places, and they lived on the south side, and over there off of W.W. White Road, I don't know if anybody's familiar with it, but it used to be back there, it used to be a lot of dump sites. People would dump stuff over there, construction companies, they just drive out there and dump stuff. Anyway, we'd be coming back from one of his places down there around Floresville. He'd drive those back roads over there, and he'd see a bunch of tin, corrugated tin, that had been sheets of tin they'd thrown out, 2x4s, all different sizes, 2x6s, you name it. He'd pick them all up, and we'd load them up in his truck, and he would go over there, and he'd store them all up until he had enough stuff, and then he would build his shed. He had it all laid out the way he wanted it. And, of course, he was a very good carpenter. He didn't just throw up some 2x4s and tack some tin on there and say, there you go, it's a building, it'll work. Now, he built these things right, because I helped him do several of them. They were square, they were reinforced, they were solid buildings, and then the rusty tin on the roof got all painted with aluminum roof coating. The barn outside would get painted. He had two colors. In one place, it was a kind of a forest green he liked with white trim on the things. And the other ones were barn red with white trim. And they looked good when we were done with them. And like I said, and people would look at it and say, that's great. And they thought, man, he must be a millionaire because he's got such nice barns and all of that. No, just because he took what he could find, what was given him, and he made stuff out of it. It's that. The same thing, I got another story here real quick about a little guy that worked for me. And he came to work for us as a service technician, and he had a little bitty old Honda CRX car. And it was all faded, and the bumpers were hanging off of it and everything. And he wired them up there with baling wire and you name it. But he kept really good care of the mechanical part of the car. Always changed the oil. He always kept it tuned up and all of that, and he drove that thing and drove it. People make fun of him, but he didn't care. He just laugh about it, but he kept driving it and driving it and driving it, you know. And then he saved up enough money because he was able to keep that car, that suddenly one day he went down and bought himself a brand new little Ranger pickup truck for cash. Got a very simple one, very plain one, nothing automatic on it, just in a 3-speed on or 4-speed on the floor. Like that. Took real good care of that truck. I talked to him not too long ago, and he has over 500,000 miles on that truck. But you know what? During this time, he saved up his money, and he has a real nice Suburban and a real nice other pickup truck for his family. So again, don't complain what the Lord is giving you. Take it and do something with it. You'll be rewarded for it. One of the best ways to find out some of the provision that God gives you is by reading your Bible. There are so many stories in the Bible for God's provision, and one of the best ones in the Old Testament, and it's, of course, about the Israelites. How many times the Lord provided for the Israelites. And what did they do? They complained and griped, and eventually the Lord allowed the Babylonians to come and invade Israel. A lot of them were taken off into slavery into Babylon, and they were in captivity. And I know sometimes we feel like in our lives that we're stuck in a situation that we're in captivity, that what are we going to do? My life is so bad. God isn't providing for me. I don't know what to do. I just feel so, ugh. I am a captive. No hope or no future. Let me read something here in Jeremiah. Give me just a second here, because again, I'm going to read this. Jeremiah 29, verse 4, and it's through, 15 or something here. Anyway, this is what the Lord tells you to do when you're in a situation in your life, and especially if you know it's going to be a long-term one, in other words. And this is something that I didn't really do when I was in this situation. Later on, I learned to it. Just take it easy and relax and go live your life. One way or another, you will get through this situation. The Lord will bring you through it. And so this is what he tells us. The Bible is nothing but common sense, day-to-day life, living. But anyway, he tells us, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all of those who are carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens. Eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that you too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and the diviners among you deceive you. In other words, don't let people tell you you can't do it. Don't listen to the naysayers. I used to have, that's Satan, trust me. And I had some people telling me that a lot. Anyway, don't listen to them. Don't listen to their prophecies. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years, I know it's a long time. Most of us don't want to wait 70 years, but anyway, but he's going through a generation here. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place that is out of captivity. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. The Lord will bring you out of your captive situation. You just be still and wait on the Lord. Be still and wait on the Lord and pray at all times. It says, I'll gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. So, no situation is hopeless. The Lord will provide for you. Just have your faith, your belief, and most important, as you probably last time I talked about, how important it is to pray. It is so important to pray. Not just when you come to church. You need to pray every day. Every day. You got to trust the Lord for all your provisions. Even if you feel like I'm having to do this on my own, you'll find out that he's speaking to you and telling you how to do it. I get this all the time. I'll be working on something. People know I like to restore antique furniture and do other things. And I do a lot of other crazy stuff down at the ranch that I build things and this and that. And I'll run into some little obstacle and I don't know how to do this, or I don't have the tool for this and that, and just keep messing with it. Maybe the next day, suddenly the answer just pops in my head. And because I pray about these things. I know they seem like little silly things, but I pray about them. Lord, give me the answer to this. It's holding me up. I need to move forward. Anyway, and he answers me. You can say what you want, but I know some. I hear the Lord a lot, and I know I think, well, that's just you thinking. No, it's not, because I'm not that bright to come up with that idea. Anyway, in Ephesians, just remember to seek the kingdom of God first. Seek him first in all that you do. Anyway, Ephesians 3:20 tells us, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So just remember, as the old song goes, rest in the everlasting arms. So I want to come down here, and I want to read one more. It's a little poem over here. Does anyone know who John Newton was? He's the guy that wrote Amazing Grace. Remember, he was going to be shipwrecked, kind of a non-believer, and the Lord saved the ship and his life after he broke down and actually prayed. So anyway, I can stay up here. Anyway, this is a little thing he wrote here, and so just listen to this with your heart. It says, though troubles assail us and dangers affright, though friends should all fail us and foes all unite, one thing secures us, whatever betide. The promise assures us the Lord will provide. The birds without garner or storehouse are fed. From them let us learn to trust God for our bread. His saints what is fitting shall ne'er be denied. So long as 'tis written, the Lord will provide. When Satan assails us, stop up your path, to stop up our path, and courage all fails us, we triumph by faith. He cannot take from us, though oft he has tried, this heart-cheering promise the Lord will provide. No strength of our own and no goodness we claim, yet since we have known of the Savior's great name, in this our strong tower for safety we hide. The Lord is our power. The Lord will provide. Amen. I'm just going to pray the 23rd Psalm right here, because basically it's a psalm of provision. There, so bow your heads and say, O Lord, you are our shepherd, we shall not want. You make us to lie down in green pastures. You lead us beside the still waters. You restore our souls. You lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. You know, when we walk to that valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for thou art with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort us. And thou preparest a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Our cup runneth over, O Lord, and surely your goodness and your mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.